This is Those Who Show Up Decide with Paul, Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez, creating storms of thought wherever he goes, flooding his environment with provoking personality and persuasion. He doesn't want you to think like him. He just wants you to think. He knows that only those who show up decide. And now for your host, Master Sergeant Chez.
Good morning, sports fans. Yes, it is another sunny Saturday morning here in Alamogordo, New Mexico, in the Big Basin. And I have horribly bad news for you guys. I'm back. Yeah, whatever. I took a trip for about a week and a half. I had to go to the Great Northwest up to Oregon. Had a bit of a family emergency up there, which is yet still unresolved, but at least I got some of the answers that I needed so I can proceed forward. Personal matters, so no, folks, I'm not really going to discuss it. And I know you all will appreciate how family matters can be that way, but I actually made one heck of a trip out of it. I went directly from here, Alamogordo, all the way to Oregon, and I actually, because it was an emergency, funds limitation, I know you think I'm independently wealthy, no I'm not, I ended up taking the bus the whole way, took a Greyhound, so that was 52 hours, including layovers, from my door to the motel I stayed in up in Oregon, which, wow, if you haven't experienced America on a Greyhound bus for 52 hours, you just haven't lived. But I did that, and then on the way back, I stopped in California, two places, stopped in Fresno, so a brother of mine that lives there, and then I went down to Los Angeles to Claremont, where I graduated high school, and saw one of my, seems to be numerous mothers, I seem to collect those, and got to see them. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that trip today, and a lot of other exciting things. We've got our international, national, we got some really bad lost faith. But we have a really good restored faith, I hope. And we're going to restart my Our Flag series because it got kind of lost there towards the last couple of ones. So I basically want to rewrite the entire series. So we're going to start with day one of 52 in this show right here. And of course, I will not miss out just because I think Nadia, Eddie, Bill, Susan, and Denise would just be horribly disappointed if I didn't bring up United Way Otero's gun raffle and what has recently happened with that. So lots of things to talk about in today's show. And we're going to get started right away with my trip. So actually, if you pay attention to my Facebook page, which I would appreciate if you would, if you listen to the show, it is worth friending me on Facebook. Go to Those Who Show Up Decide on Facebook. Like the page. You'll see all the updates of the sociopathic. That was what Nadia called me. Sociopathic things that I post out there. Lots of things going on in the world nowadays, folks, but one of the things I am going to post out there this week is, remember back in the day, I mean, long ago, and I know some of you young folks won't remember this, but when you went on the trip, Dad took a whole bunch of pictures and then came back and got them all converted into slides, and then people, friends would come over and they'd have to endure the slide projector show of your trip to Disneyland or whatever. Well, nowadays we take pictures and we just digitally upload on Facebook, so here over the weekend I will be digitally uploading my entire trip, which will include some great pictures and great video of two towns that I stopped over in Oregon. One, Medford Falls, which was absolutely a beautiful city, and the other one, Klamath Falls, and I had a great time in both of those towns. So what we're going to do right now is I'm going to talk a little bit about the trip, and I encourage you to go out there on my Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide, and for those of you that are my personal friends on my personal page, and take a look through my slideshow of my trip, because I'm going to try to make some specific points, particularly in regards to Main Street America, the program we're starting here in Alamogordo, and some of the things I saw in those two towns up in Oregon, which were just absolutely stunning. So, back to the trip thing. Like I said, I went from here to Oregon, dealt with a family emergency up there, had a lot of time on my hands while I was on there, tooling around, and did some great tours. But I also got to know all about Greyhound. Greyhound bus lines, of course, we've heard of that forever. And as far as I can tell, I think they have the monopoly on national busing, and probably international because they go into Mexico and Canada as well. But there were some things that I really enjoyed about the trip. It wasn't nearly as horrible as I thought it was. There were some things about my trip that were abysmal. And so I'm going to read basically a post I did and sent to Greyhound. And I thought you guys might be interested in hearing what I sent them. So, message to Greyhound. Good morning. I wanted to pass on a few comments about the trip I've been on for about a week. Some good, most bad. Let's start with the bad so we can end with the good. And folks, there wasn't that much good that I mentioned here, but you'll see where I go. First, booking my trip. You're new and improved. That's what the message says when you call in. Hey, if you want to go to our new and improved website. Yeah, their new and improved website couldn't be worse. Actually, it probably could, so don't take that as a challenge. Besides being cumbersome and difficult in his overall operation, there's three specific issues I have. And please note, I'm very computer literate. First, there's no option to book a multi-leg trip with layovers. You can book a round trip pretty easily, but if you want to do a trip that goes to point A, then to B, then to C, then back to A, you have to book that many legs and separate trips. That complicates figuring out bus times and applying any discounts exponentially. Secondly, the itinerary that shows up tells you the times for each leg of the trip, but it does not include the dates when you ride from one day to the next. Now, I'm former military and I got through it, but I'm thinking about grandma trying to go see the grandkids. Third, it got so complex to add my military discount and also use my first-time road rewards discount on the first leg that I called customer service. Now, I don't care that you've outsourced to India or wherever, but the rep I got had to have explained 2 to 3 times that I wasn't going round trip on each leg. Then when we got to talking about the discounts and I told him I was a military retired veteran, he told me about the senior discount. Yeah, Rich, quit laughing. We had to literally go through all 5 types of discounts before he got the one I was asking about. And then trying to apply that discount was sheer hell. Finally, and what really set me off was that after about 50 minutes of that BS, when I said, okay, we got it straight, please book what we had put together, was when he told me about the $10 per leg charge for him to book it. But if I did it online, I wouldn't have to pay that. Obviously, that fee would have totally made my discounts worthless. Luckily, I had been following the trip as we built it online, so I just said thank you and did it myself. What, he couldn't have told me that up front so I would have just asked a few quick questions and moved on? That's a cost to you, and I was talking to Greyhound. It's a cost to you that you don't need. I was, among many other things, a call center rep. Time is money there, and that guy wasted a ton of my time and yours. Needless to say, booking your trip took me about 4 hours. Not good at all. Next, we'll talk about in this next section, those who show peeps, I tried to be subtle, so, you're going to have to pay attention really closely. Next, we're going to talk about your complete and utter bordering on criminally negligent security. As far as I can tell, your security is only there in case a passenger gets out of hand. Only one single time, and actually it ended up being twice by the trip was over. Only one single time was I ever asked for my ID. So please pass on a compliment to Tony and her supervisor in Claremont, California. Not one driver, not one security person, and other than Tony, not one desk clerk ever so much as verified I was the person traveling on that ticket. In fact, once at one station, the clerk allowed me to leave my bag behind the counter when I had a 12-hour layover. Well, that was very nice and I appreciated it, but 10 hours later when I picked the bags up, there was a different counter person. I came up and said, those are my bags, may I have them please? And that agent just handed them over without checking the tags and my ID to see if they were actually mine. And let's not even bring up no bag checks, no x-rays, no metal detectors, etc. Your policy of no weapons, no alcohol, no drugs is a joke. I could have easily carried a handgun coast to coast, shot up a bus, carried some type of explosive, and blew one up. And for the NSA, that's not a threat, it's an observation. I'm just curious, have you people heard that we are at war? That there are terrorists and lone wolves all across our country? If you're worried about the schedules, at least have the drivers check IDs against the ticket. That'll only add about 5 seconds per passenger. The rest is a dream that I don't see you caring about because it will cost money to implement. Unless someone like me puts it on my small radio show. Ooh, did I do that? Yes, I did. and Facebook page. Yeah, I did that too. And contacts my congressman, which I will be next week. Steve Pierce, if you're listening, your guy Joe Martinez is going to get a call from me. But nothing will ever change. And even then, I doubt it. One day some terrorist will watch the movie Traitor with Don Cheadle and get a bright idea. And by the way, folks, if you haven't watched that movie, it's a great movie. You ought to go see it. Now, as far as your seats go, solid bricks with my knees in my teeth doesn't come close. Only one bus was remotely comfortable. Actually, I got to make that two now that the trip's complete. My last bus was brand new and it was great. Would you really lose that much money by removing one row of seats and adding space to the rest? Apparently so. So the good news, that was all the bad. Now for the good. I got about one paragraph of that. So the good news is that every one of your drivers, agents, counter people, security folks, etc. were courteous, polite, professional, and helpful. And I sincerely mean that. It was fun getting to know my fellow passengers. So after all that griping above, my trip from New Mexico to Oregon and back wasn't too bad. But what was bad was abysmal. And then I said, I doubt this note will get anything other than a pre-programmed BS response, but I hope I'm wrong. I will use your company again. I can't afford the trips I have to take over the next couple of years otherwise. It must be nice to essentially have a monopoly. But if you could consider at least some of what I've written, that would be nice. Feel free to contact me. I'll be happy to respond. God bless you and our traveling public. Master Sergeant Chez, retired, out. Update, I'm shocked. The security dude is actually checking bags. He's doing a crappy job, but it looks good. Points for El Paso. That was this morning at like 5 in the morning when I was there. And here's something interesting. Greyhound actually wrote me back because I posted it. I just messaged them. I posted it on their page and my pages and stuff. But this was their response. Hello, Paul. We want to thank you for reaching out to us concerning your trip. It is standard policy for our ticket agents and drivers to check IDs for all passengers that are boarding our bus. We appreciate you letting us know about this situation. Safety is our number one concern for our passengers. This matter will be addressed with that terminal. Quick pause right there. Insert comment by Chez. They talk about it's standard policy for ticket agent, drivers, all those people. As I said, one singular ticket agent checked me. The other dozen did not. So they're going to address it with that terminal. The terminal I talked about was the one terminal that did a good job. Back to the letter. In regards to your suggestions for our website, we will have our management team take a look at some of your concerns. Wow, that's wonderful. They're going to have their mat. I think that means piss up a rope. Paul, we are happy that you were able to meet some new people during your trip, and we are excited that you have chose to use our services again. Feel free to contact us anytime. Thanks, and then it says SH. I'm not quite sure what SH is. At least it wasn't thanks BS. And that meeting new people thing, wow. But I will tell you, on the bus, there were some very nice people. I will also tell you that some of those bus stations, particularly at 3 in the morning, I'm sure you guys have seen the videos of like the people of Walmart and some of the ways people dress when they go to Walmart. Well, the rejects from Walmart, they're at the bus station. I'm just saying, folks. But this was my answer to Greyhound. SH, I will post a response on my pages and mention it on my radio show this Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Mountain Time on thebigbasin.com. My show's name and my Facebook page are the same, Those Who Show Up Decide. So Greyhound might be listening, and Greyhound, I'm serious. It was good, but wow, your security just killed me. Please note that I began last Wednesday and I am on the final leg home right now. Exactly one time was I asked for ID, and exactly one time here in El Paso did I see anyone do a luggage check, and that was only for one bus in the 5 hours I was in the terminal. That means I've been through over 10 to 15 rest stops, transfers, and new legs with only one ID check. As former military, I am concerned about the security situation. Reality is that any decent criminal or terrorist would have a legit ID, but at least that would be a tiny speed bump for them instead of giving away the house. I do have to say the bus I'm on now is so new that the leather seats smell new. So that's nice. And as I said before, what makes your company work is the people. Note that as negative as my post is, I'm still complimenting your people. After having interacted with dozens in the past week, not one was grumpy or put out to help someone. That is why this ended up being a pleasant trip. Thank you again for your response, and please commend Tony and Claremont for being the only person to ID me. I know some people don't want all that security that we have in airports, but the safety of our country is at stake. And a few seconds ID check would take isn't that much to ask. God God bless you and our traveling public. Mass Sergeant Chez out. So I just did 15 minutes on Greyhound, and I'm almost sorry that I did it. For you guys, I will just tell you that hopefully Greyhound is going to acknowledge some of what I wrote. I think the service was adequate. I think, the people, great. The buses, road, great. Air conditioning, great. All that stuff, great. Drivers, fabulous. Seats, except for two buses, were bricks. But I also paid about a quarter what I would have paid had I gone by plane. And I just simply couldn't even afford it if I wanted to go by plane. And I'm going to have to do it, that trip up to Oregon, at least one or two more times over the next year. So I guess I'm going to get to become quite the experienced bus traveler. You get what you pay for, and I had a whole lot of that in my mind. So just like when I was in the military, I simply decided to embrace the suck. It is not fun sitting on a bus for 50 hours door to door. But honestly, I got some stuff done. I completely reorganized my iTunes library, did a lot of reading, posted a lot of things on Facebook, did a lot of sleeping. So the trip in general, I will tell you, was very relaxing for me, and I mean that sincerely. I spent a 12-hour day in Medford Falls, Oregon. Got to meet, what was his name? Where's that book? I got to meet a guy from, it was Brad Hicks, I think his name is. I'm trying to look up the article that he gave me, but Brad Hicks from the now I can't find the paper, of course. Where is it? There it is. Yes, Brad S.S. Hicks, who is the Mike Espritu, basically, of Medford Falls. He's the president. When I came in the door at the Chamber of Commerce, I just happened to walk by it, decided to stop in, since I've got a little experience with our chamber, and they heard the door open, and Brad himself came up. He acted as if he was just one of the guys that are working there. I had to ask him who he was, and he didn't even really tell you. He just gave me the head cook and bottle washer routine until one of his people actually told me he was the president, and that's when I realized I was talking to the boss at a joint. So not that Mike doesn't do that. Mike is extremely friendly. It was just nice to see Brad right out front meeting visitors that come through. So I have to give a huge compliment to the chamber up there, and I am going to write a story on those who show. I don't have time in this show to put it on there, but I'll write it on my page about how cool Medford Falls is. It is a town, by the way, of 78,500 people, so it's quite a bit bigger than us. I've got some great flyers and economic profile stuff that they did. I do want to quote Brad. In one of his articles, it says, Medford's natural beauty mixes with its strong corporate climate to make it a favorable place to plant roots. That's why people from around the world have come to call this place home. Whether you've lived here for 1 month or all your life, you can easily understand the reasons why we call Medford the center of it all. Nestled snugly and conveniently between Portland and San Francisco, the center of it all is regularly recognized among the best places to live in the nation. And of course, we know that I adore Alamogordo. That's otherwise I wouldn't be here. But I got to tell you, Medford's got it going on. So you'll see an article about that. So big points for Medford Falls, Oregon, and you'll also see a thing on Klamath Falls, Oregon as well, which was just as beautiful a city. Both of them blew me away. All of that'll be out there on Facebook. So that I also got to spend some time with my brother Scott. Spent 2 days with him in Fresno. Really relaxed. We didn't go anywhere. I didn't realize that Yosemite was 45 minutes away. So the next time I go there, we're going to make a plan that we're going to spend a day in Yosemite, place that I've always wanted to go, never went. And then I went down to LA, spent an evening with my mom and dad down there, with my brother, as well as my mom and dad down in Claremont. It was all about the barbecue and eating and having a couple of adult beverages and sitting around with family. Got to see my sister Siri, and I hadn't seen my sister Siri or my mom Jan in like 16 years. Scott and my dad Wes had come to my retirement in 2009. Either way, it was extremely relaxing. It was nice to get away. We all need to get away from home every once in a while, and so I really enjoyed it. But as I said earlier, I'm back. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do a quick commercial, and when we get back, we're going to talk about some international stuff with you guys.
Did you break down in the Big Basin and do you need a tow? Well, the best towing service in the Big Basin and surrounding area is 54 Towing. Amy and Jean-Paul have the trucks and expertise for whatever your towing needs are. From smart cars to semis, they will get it done. And if you're looking for a hard-to-find part for your ride, they also operate North 54 Salvage, the best salvage yard in Alamogordo. Just remember their slogan, we don't want an arm and a leg, we just want your toes. You can contact them at 575-585-9097. That's 575-585-9097. Tell them Master Sergeant Chiz sent you.
Being that we're pressed for time, we're going to jump straight into the international news. And honestly, there's only really one thing, excuse me, going on internationally right now. And if you turn on your TV or the web, you will absolutely see it virtually instantly. And that is the Olympics. I haven't got to see much of it because, again, I've been on the road. But I've read what I can on... online, seeing what few videos I can get. By the way, just so you know, Greyhound buses actually have AC plugs and Wi-Fi. Not the best high-speed Wi-Fi you could get, but not too bad either. So I got to be connected through most of the trip, and that was kind of handy. But really, you know, when sportscasters and people like that talk about how great certain Olympians are, and people talk about, oh, my team, the, you know, Jets or whatever, did great, it almost sounds like they are taking credit for somehow being part of that experience and what that team or that individual sports person did. And in no way do I feel that I should take credit for anything to do with the Olympics whatsoever. I barely watch the thing. But I got to tell you, Michael Phelps has just blown me away. A side story that you may not know, of course, everybody knows that at the London Olympics, he became the most decorated Olympian of all time. I think he had 18 gold at the end of the London Olympics. As of the recording of this show, tonight he got a silver medal in the 100-meter butterfly, I think. So he didn't get gold tonight. So that puts him at only 22 gold medals. Most decorated Olympian of modern history. That was done in London. But here's the interesting thing. They went back and did research back to the original Olympiads in Greece back 2,100 years ago, something like that, when they originally had these games. And they found a guy who... in history, I'm talking all of human history, was the greatest Olympian. It was Leonidas, kind of like, I think, the same name from the Spartan, the 300 Spartan movie. But this guy, in four Olympics, back-to-back, ran three different foot races in each of those Olympics, combining for... however many, 3 times 4, that sounds like 12 to me, but it had to be more than that. But he won... more gold than anybody else, and that record stood. Somehow that plus other golds that he got equaled something like 21 gold medals that this Grecian, I think is the proper name, back in history won. And either way, Phelps tied it and went past it yesterday with 22 gold medals, making him not just the greatest Olympian of modern times, but he is now the greatest Olympian in history, period, bar none. And that is just a stunning thing. And I just have to say on my little show with the two or three people that are listening, if you haven't looked at Michael Phelps, if you haven't read about him, that man is so inspiring, particularly the story of from the London Olympics till now. And we all know some of the bad news stories that went out about him. There was a picture of him smoking a bong somewhere, and I think he had a DUI arrest and a couple other things. Either way, he didn't even want to get back into the water, according to one of the articles. And how he pulled himself out of that deep trench that he'd got, that rut that he'd got himself into, to not just come back, but in the last race I saw him in, which is, I think, a freestyle race or something, but... he pulled away from the pack so far at the end, he was a full body length away. It was like Phelps was racing himself in his own little pool, doing his own little thing, and everybody else was having their own race behind him. I mean, it was just that far out that he was. You look at the guy standing there. No, I'm not into guys, but dude, that guy didn't have a six-pack. He's got an eight-pack. Now, me, I'm pretty proud. I've got a keg. But I'm just telling you, the guy's ripped. His wingspan is ridiculous. He's an extremely impressive, seemingly pretty humble young man. And I just wish him the best because he is just really stepped out, not just for himself, but he's also stepped out for our country and America. We also had the first black female swimmer, I think American swimmer, to win gold. I can't recall her name. I'll have to look that up. And then we have the female gymnast. And again, I've lost that name, but they are talking about her like she is on a whole other level when it comes to gymnasts. In fact, they're saying that the Olympian to watch is this other young lady. So look up the Olympics, see what's going. I think we got a good week or more left of it. Now, one other comment about the Olympics. For the last couple of months, I have been talking about how the Olympics was going to be a complete disaster. Everybody's going to get sick from Zika virus. Everybody was going to get raped and murdered and killed and robbed. The stadiums were going to fall apart, all that stuff. Well, that's what I get for reading the news. To this point, they have had problems with getting some food to some of the venues, making sure there was enough for the spectators to eat. One of the Olympic pools went from blue one day to a soupy green the next day. They're trying to rectify that. Not everything is peaches and cream down there. But it is so far, knock on wood, not the unmitigated disaster that the American press had been saying up to this point. So I think there's going to be some word eating done on the part of the press and, of course, on part of me for assuming that that Brazil was going to be just the worst Olympics in history. And it really, as far as I can tell through the news reports, it really isn't, not to this point. Have there been incidents? Absolutely. Every Olympics has incidents. But to this point, I don't think it's been that bad, and I hope that the rest of the Olympics goes as well as it has been going so far. So I'm going to skip out of international. I'm going to drop in a national news real quick. And because we have a lot of stuff to do in our second half, I do want to make sure I save some time there. So I'm going to go very quickly over the national news, which, as usual, covers Trump and Hillary. So first bit on the GOP side is the race to jump off the Trump ship of nominee towards the presidential is staggering. There was a letter written by 50 former secretaries of state and generals and all kind of highfalutin people saying that Trump couldn't be a worse choice and that the Republican Party has to find a way to get rid of him as the nominee. Trump's response to that one was, that's great that those guys said that. Take a look at that list of names and you'll know who to thank for the position we are in currently as far as our world situation. Those are the guys that got us here. I think Trump's got a point, but as I've said all along, I think Trump is terrifying. Apparently another 70 or 75 sent another letter to the RNC saying, hey, we need to get rid of this guy. We need, or at the very least, don't give him any more money out of the Republican National Committee coffers. Take all of the money you've got there and put it down into the state Senate and the congressional races in each state, because that way, because they all believe that Trump has no hope of winning, when Hillary wins, at least the GOP might retain control of the Senate and of Congress so that they could deal with Hillary. Wow, jumping off ship, stabbing Trump, not in the back, they're stabbing him square frontal, right in the eyeball. It's pretty amazing to see the absolutely unrelenting lack of support that the GOP has put together for Donald Trump. You can argue this two ways. One is, actually several ways, but I'm going to pick out a couple. One is Trump won fair and square. No matter what the party tried to do to stop him, and obviously in the case of the Democratic Party, it's documented they tried to stop and did stop Bernie, But no matter what happened, Trump succeeded with the Republican nomination. There apparently is something called a Rule 9 in the Republican charter that says that if the Republican committee determines that a candidate is not of sound mind, that they can pull him off the presidential ticket and replace him. But that is such a medical term, and not just the fact that we all think that Trump is bat bleep crazy. You know, and by the way, that's me too. That doesn't qualify for not of sound mind. So there's no chance that that's going to happen. Trump is going to go forward to November, and then we'll just see what happens. Now, can Trump survive this election? That's a huge question, because he did bring in millions of people that had totally given up on the GOP and got them to vote and got the attention of a whole lot of other people. So is it possible? Yeah, I think it is possible that he could win. So there's your theory number one. And I've already told you guys theory number two or three or 18 or whatever. And that is Trump may have been a plant from the very beginning. And I mean on the part of the Democrats to take over the Republican Party to clear the way for Hillary winning. You know, I don't know. You can go this 18 different ways. It really doesn't matter. It is Hillary against Trump, and there's just no hope for the rest of us. We're just going to have to ride this next 4 years out and hope that someone with a brain tries to run for president in 4 years. And as always, to this point, I'm going to stick with what I've said before, and that is, whether I like it or not, I'm going to vote for Trump. So, with that said, let me give you some of the reasons that I'm not going to be voting for Hillary. Right now, there is yet another email scandal. Of course, remember Hillary's original email scandal in relation to the relationship to the Benghazi stuff. Then we had the email scandal that broke just before the Democratic convention, which conclusively proved that the DNC committee made every effort it could to prevent Bernie Sanders from winning, which then caused Debbie, what's her name, whoever she is, to resign, and has actually endangered her race for the Florida seat that she has in Congress. But either way, so there's two email scandals. Well, now there's a lot of talk out there, and in fact, some of it just happened a couple hours ago, that Guccifer 2.0 group, which is like an anonymous hacker group, which allegedly has ties to Russia, they've released yet another batch of information from the hacked emails they got out of the DNC, and this includes the personal names, phone numbers, emails, addresses, all that of over 200 current and former congressmen. So right now, what the stories that I'm seeing in the news are about the Democrats being very scared of what they call an October surprise. And an October surprise in any campaign is just before the election. Somebody's got a really huge piece of dirt on somebody, and they drop it right before election day. So there is enough time for the people who haven't done their absentee ballots and didn't vote early, they're waiting for the day, you know, actual election day, to see it and go, oh, you see, I told you that person was bad, and then vote for the opponent. And then the other option, of course, the other part of that is do it close enough to the election to get your point across that that other person is bad, but do it late enough that there's really not enough time for them to turn around and respond to it. So there apparently is a huge fear on the Democrats that that's going to happen. I think that the RNC and Trump should also be worried about it. If Democrats have half a brain, and I'm not going to follow that statement with anything. I'll let you write your own jokes there. But if Democrats have half a brain, they will have already had their own hackers hack it into Donald Trump stuff. And I'm sure we've got plenty of October surprises to come in Donald Trump's history. I guess Hillary and Kane released their tax returns today. Trump refuses to, and Pence has not said whether he will or he won't. As governor, he never did. We'll have to see what he does as the vice presidential candidate. But that's just something that Hillary can say, look, I released my stuff. Why didn't you release yours? So just another neener, neener, neener from Hillary to Trump. But the interesting thing about the, you know, will there be an October surprise stories that I'm reading, is it's all about did Russia or this Guccifer group hack the DNC and how illegal it is and how bad it is and, you know, that they did this heinous act. And what will the president do, and our current president, what will the Department of Justice, FBI, CIA do about this horrible hack? I agree with you. It is a horrible hack. And, you know, even with Snowden, who I appreciated very much for releasing all that information, at the same time, he absolutely massively jeopardized national security. But it was a huge wake-up call for America to say, yes, your country's been doing this for forever, and I could never believe how people didn't know that was already going on. Well, now we've got the DNC getting hacked, and I'm sure the DNC is just scared blind as to what these hackers have from all those emails. Here's the thing, though, folks. Whether or not it was an illegal act to have obtained those emails, when those emails come out, you wrote what you wrote. You said what you said in those emails and in that information. Maybe if you did your job the right way and honestly with integrity the first time, wasn't doing all the dirty tricks, then maybe you wouldn't have to worry about the emails that you have getting released. There's no story on the Democrats saying, oh, we're not worried about what's going to get released because we've been playing fair all along. No, it's been about how bad it is that they're going to release it. And I guarantee you, folks, if there is an October surprise, the story the media is going to be putting on it is about how evil it is that they released this information and not about how the information itself and what it says about whether it's the DNC or the RNC or Trump or Hillary herself, whatever. It's not going to be about what they said in those emails, what they did as a result of those emails. It's going to be about the process of stealing those emails. I just think it should be about what the emails say and let the FBI do their job and shut down those hackers, which I agree they should be shut down, but that's not the point to me. The point is the information that's going to come out. So we're going to keep an eye on that over the next few months between now and November. And as these bits of information leak out, I'm sure we're going to have lots to talk about that. So that is heads up on a new story that is out there on the conservative, very, very far right pages right now. I haven't seen it bleed into some of the mainstream news yet, so I personally, honestly, I do not believe this yet. It's got some merit, it's got some things to be concerned about, but I'm not endorsing this particular line of thought, but this is something for you to watch for. There's been a couple of stories in the last week about one of Hillary's handlers carrying around an injection of some type for her, how anytime Hillary walks up and down stairs, she has to have people holding her hand, and now apparently the father of a DNC staffer who apparently has something to do with it had something to do with getting out votes, but also the father's a doctor, and he allegedly released some of Hillary's medical records, and supposedly these medical records talk about how Hillary is getting into a state of dementia, and she has to have certain shots to keep her alert and aware, and all this stuff. I think it is a huge conspiracy theory at this point. You know, she has to get on that stage all by herself and talk for that period of time. If she has to have a hand getting on and off the stage, I don't really see a problem with that. But we will see if medical records are released and where this story drifts. Right now, it is huge conspiracy theory. I'm taking it with about a pound and a half of salt, but I am going to be keeping an eye on it. So, with no further ado, let's get out of the trash and the nastiness of the national campaign. We're going to do an R flag again. We're going to go back to R flag number one. We'll come back with lost and restored faith. And with any luck, we're actually going to get to talk about the United Way raffle. So, here is our flag. Greetings. My name is Paul Massard-Sanchez, retired Sanchez, and this is our flag. This short program will be an ongoing series of spots highlighting the proper protocol for the care and display of our nation's colors, the Star-Spangled Banner. There are many customs, traditions, and guidelines regarding our flag. There are also many well-intentioned myths that are actually incorrect regarding the proper protocols. Through this series, I hope to correct those and show you where to find the information on how to properly set up and display the flag. All information I present here will be reference-based, and if I do discuss any customs and traditions, I'll state those as such. To begin with, let's work through the basics. To partially quote the Congressional Research Service Report, RL30243, quote, "The United States Flag Code is found in Title IV of the United States Code and Section Title 36, which designates the Star-Spangled Banner as the national anthem and provides instructions on how to display the flag during its rendition. The flag code includes instruction and rules on such topics as the Pledge of Allegiance, display and use of the flag by civilians, time and occasions for display, position and manner of display, and how to show respect for the flag." This lays the groundwork for where the rules come from. So for today, let's just hit the obvious ones. The number one rule regarding our flag comes from USC Title IV, Chapter 1, Section 8. Quote, "No disrespect should be shown to the flag of the United States of America." Unquote. Every other rule, guideline, custom, and tradition must stem from this simple thought. The other basic rules are also simple. The flag should always be highest on a single flagpole. It should always be displayed to its own right or in front. But trust me, defining its own right can be difficult. As time goes on in this series, I'll explore how to decide the right and left of the flag display in question. I look forward to this series and hope that each of you will also enjoy and perhaps learn from it. If any listeners have any questions or comments about the content of this series, I welcome you to post comments on my Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide. The script from these spots will be posted in the notes section. May God bless you, and of course, may God bless America. This is Paul Massardinchez, retired Sanchez, out.
This week's Our Flag has been brought to you by the Otero County Conservatives. Come meet with us every third Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. in the New Heart Cowboy Church in Alamogordo, New Mexico, on the corner of White Sands Boulevard and Fairgrounds Road. We welcome all who are interested in taking our country back to the constitutional basis from whence we came. Come early and meet everybody while grabbing a bite to eat at the Hitchin Post right next door. Pastor Coy Griffin makes an awesome barbecue. That's the Otero County Conservatives, meeting every third Thursday at 6 p.m. See you there. This is Melody Tapp Sanchez, signing off from thebigbasin.com. May God bless you and may God bless America.
And thank you, Melody, for talking us out of that Our Flag. For those of you that do listen to that Our Flag, again, I'm restarting the entire series. It's going to go 52 weeks. And if I get all 52 done, then we're just going to repeat it next year. What my mistake was last time I did this was that I used current events at the time to do those spots. And, of course, current events change. So we're going to reorient the series, rewrite some stuff, update it all, and hopefully we'll get it squared away. If any of you have any interest in what I'm talking about with Our Flag, make sure you give me a call. Let me know what kind of questions you would like me to answer in those Our Flag spots. In the meantime, we've got about 20 minutes left in the show. We've got a couple of few things to hit real quick. One is something, my segment I like to call Lost Faith in Humanity. I'm only going to take a couple of minutes to talk about this. As I looked at the news this week, there was an article on a gentleman who just got, I think he's 62 years old, just got sentenced to 19 years in prison, which I think was a gift. I think he should never see daylight again. But apparently, he was convicted of having 47 terabytes of child porn on his computers. 47 terabytes, folks. You can't even imagine how much information that is. According to the article I read, it took investigators over 400 hours to go through all of this child porn. They have currently identified only 82 victims that were within that porn library. I can't even imagine how you would amass that much of anything. I don't care if it's music, I don't care art, I don't care what it is, and to amass that much of child porn, well, there's an entirely new level of hell that I'm sure the devil has created for this gentleman, and it's still going to be way too nice for him. So that's a lost faith. There was also a story about how a girl, I want to say in the Bronx, she was 13 years old. She reported having been raped. She went out to smoke some pot with some guys. She felt dizzy. This was in some abandoned apartment. And apparently these teenagers and some other men raped her over the course of 2 months, repeatedly, etc. Again, another complete lost faith in humanity. It is unbelievable the evil that we do unto each other. And the morals and values that I see that come out in today's society in just people. It is just so abysmal and horrendous that... what's the Frankie Goes to Hollywood line, which is, some days I wonder if I woke up on the right planet. So with that said, what I am going to do is I'm going to get right into my restored faith in humanity. There was an article that I saw on Fox News that got me to write a bit of a rant, a bit of an article out there, and hopefully you read it on my Facebook page, Those Who Show. But I want to read it to you because I think this was actually something that I wrote that's maybe not too horrible. So here it goes. We all need to knit hats. Chez, what the hell are you talking about? Have you truly gone round the bend? I know, I went round that bend and a few others long ago, but folks, we all need to knit hats. The story below will make my show this weekend as my Restored Faith in Humanity segment. It's about a 91-year-old man in hospice care that over the last 15 years has knitted well over 8,000 hats for the homeless. So why do we think we all need to knit hats? First, I don't mean literally take up knitting. What I do mean is we all have talents and skill sets. What we do need to do is use those talents to, in some small or very large way, serve our fellow man. If your talent is baking cookies, bring a batch to the next church picnic, have a bake sale, and donate the proceeds to a charity like Love, Inc. In fact, every year there's a group that holds a golf tournament right here in town at the public golf course for Love, Inc. They bring in thousands of dollars to donate to that great charity. So those guys and gals are using their golfing talents to knit a hat. Every single one of us has a talent or skill that our Lord gave us. Whether you pray to my personal Savior, Jesus Christ, or Allah, or Buddha, or any other deity, even if you don't believe in any deity, as you grew up, you created a talent and or skill. My point is we need to use even just a little bit of that for the good of our community, or even just that little old lady next door that needs her lawn mowed. Just think of it. If we all stepped outside our own egos and selfishness, our own greed and self-entitlements, for just an hour, say per month, could you imagine what we could accomplish? In the military and many other professions, we calculate how much a job costs in labor by how many man hours it takes. If changing a tire takes 3 guys 1 hour, then the job takes 3 man hours. So if you took 1 hour a month, it would be almost nothing to you. And don't freaking tell me that across a month you don't have an hour. In a day, an hour is a long time. In a week, it's possible, but it might be tough. But across a month, well, just shut up. Oh, and by the way, if you really don't think you have an hour, how about donating $10 to a month to a charity? Yeah, I know you don't have $10. How many sodas do you drink a month? Try giving up one energy drink a week. One latte, one pack of smokes. How much money would that generate? Well, Where do the man hours come in? Well, if every man, woman, and child over about 7 years old, helped by their parents, of course, took 1 hour a month to pick up trash in a vacant lot in their neighborhood, mowed the grass for that little old lady, or knitted a hat for the homeless, we'd have created well over 30,000 man and woman hours in our little town. Just think about what we could accomplish. Just think about it. So the bottom line is, what can you do to knit a hat? Now go get her done. Master Sergeant Chez retired out. Ooh-ah. So that was my little rant on public service. If you go to my page, you'll see it pinned to the top of my page. A man, 91 years old, in hospice care, still knitting hats for the homeless. It's a really heartwarming story, and it is definitely something that you guys should take a look at. We've got about 10 minutes left in our show, so I'm going to see if I can't... get some more things done. We're going to do a very quick commercial, and then we'll talk about the United Way raffle.
MDC Computers on the corner of White Sands Boulevard and 12th Street is the only place in town that meets Master Sergeant Chez's computer needs. Devin and Chris repair computers, clean viruses, transfer data, sell new and used computer equipment, and have the knowledge and reasonable pricing to solve just about all of your computer issues and needs. You can contact them at 575-437-7600. That's 575-437-7600. And tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
And now for the United Way. So, quick update, if you haven't been watching the news, and this, of course, happened just as soon as I left town, and wow, did I get bombarded with phone calls and messages and things of that nature about this. Apparently, there is a group, New Mexicans for Prevention of Gun Violence, which is a group out of Santa Fe, that got wind and griped to United Way Worldwide about how the Otero County United Way is holding a raffle. They've joined with Western True Value Hardware, and which is a gun store right on, I want to say it's 9th, just above New York. And what they've done is they have set up a raffle where you buy a calendar and you get a raffle ticket for $50. That raffle ticket apparently entitles you to 6 drawings across 6 different weeks across the next year, starting in 2017, where if you win one, you get a gun. Okay, a handgun or a rifle. They apparently have purchased somewhere around $50,000 worth of guns in conjunction with the folks down at Western Value. A good friend of mine, Josh Prather, was in the paper this week talking about that. And what happened, though, is that apparently some of our northern brethren and sisters got wind. And, of course, you know, we can't be raffling off guns, can we? Because that's horrible. Down here in Otero County, I think we can manage our weapons just fine, thank you. And, of course, Western Value would absolutely never, and this isn't sarcastic, this is serious. If some criminal buys one of these raffle tickets and actually wins, they're going to have to do a full background check just like every other customer of Western True Value has to do. And if they pass the check, then they're fine, and they have the same rights as any other citizen of America to purchase a weapon. If you don't pass the background check, then guess what? You're not getting the gun. Those guys are not going to give it to you. Simple as that. It's just like walking into the store and buying a gun for $50. It's the exact same thing. So with that said, a woman who at this point I think should remain nameless, who apparently is on the board of the United Way up in Santa Fe, and also is something like the president of this New Mexicans for Prevention of Gun Violence entity, she saw that United Way in Otero County was holding this raffle. And, of course, that sent her right over the edge. She contacted United Way Worldwide, who then sent a letter to United Way Otero, basically stating that they had to cease and desist this raffle, and that having a raffle with guns as the winning item is not consistent with the mission and goals of United Way, and that it needed to stop. So this caused quite a turmoil. We made the Albuquerque News, one of the TV stations up there, I can't recall which one, and it's become a huge deal here in town. United Way, from the news stories that I've read and the people that I've spoke to here in Otero County, are not, I repeat, not stopping the raffle at this time. You can still go down to the Western True Value store and buy the raffle and buy the tickets. What is going on is they are consulting with their attorneys, because apparently the board here feels very strongly about this was a good idea. In fact, if they make their goals with this particular raffle, they're going to raise about $150,000 for United Way off of the $50,000 worth of guns that they purchased in conjunction with the True Value folks. So, what's going on now? Well, we're contacting the United Way people down here. They're contacting their lawyers. They're looking into what they're going to do. If the cease and desist letter from the United Way Worldwide does stick and they have to abide by that, what you're likely going to see is a situation where the United Way will separate itself from this raffle. I would expect that the Western Value folks are just going to take it over themselves. Maybe some other entity will take it over, do the raffle, and the proceeds of that raffle will still go to the local United Way. Now, the only question is, and there are people that are definitely complaining about this and very concerned about donating to the United Way here in town, because if we donate to United Way Otero, is that going to go into the coffers of United Way worldwide? Obviously, this has put quite a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths down here for the United Way. So at the moment, I have not heard officially if any funds are stay within Otero County or they go north. I, in the next week, am going to be doing an investigation into this. I'm going to look around and see who else may be involved in this situation, get some quotes and comments from different people, read the various Facebook pages and see what's out there about this. Because, of course, us good nuts are horrible and being trashed by the people over on the Transparency One and the Democrats page because we're just a bunch of evil, you know, want to kill everything gun nuts. So that's what's going on currently. If you are interested in purchasing one of these raffle tickets for $50, and that includes people from out of state, what you can do is contact the Western True Value here in Alamogordo, and they will give you all the details. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go into our last commercial and then pick up on the end of our show.
Are you too busy to wash your ride? Did the soccer team go nuts with soda and Frito chips in the minivan? Are you selling your ride and want it to look awesome? Or do you just want to look awesome? Well, Louie, Chris, and the guys are the best mobile detailers in town. They'll come to your work or home and detail your smart car through RV, your kids' tricycle through construction vehicles. If it's got wheels, wings, or floats, most wanted mobile detail are the guys to call. You can reach Louie at 575-415-0256. That's 575-415-0256. Most wanted mobile detail. Tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
And that just about wraps it for those who show up to side here on August 13th, 2016. Let me hit our 1001 dumbest things ever said, which were not actually said by Chez. The first one is a quote from Abraham Lincoln: "People who like this sort of thing will find this sort of thing they like." Okay, that's almost Rumsfeldish. And then we have Louis Nel, Deputy Foreign Minister from South Africa. "We do not have censorship. What we have is a limitation on what newspapers can report." Yes, and let's throw one more in. "I'm not indecisive." Am I indecisive? That's Jim Schiebel, Mayor of St. Paul, Minnesota. So 1001 of the dumbest things ever said. And that pretty much kills it for the rest of this show. As I said, the United Way drawing, big concern of mine and many other friends of mine here in Otero County. We're going to have to see how that plays out. So there's going to be a lot of investigating to do now that I'm back from my trip. I really got to thank the personnel of Greyhound Bus Lines, and I mean that in all sincerity. They really made what could have been a horrible trip into something that was not too bad, somewhat pleasant. I hope that Greyhound International themselves actually listened to something I said. Didn't like the security they had in those bus stations at all. If they're going to let a person like me go through, then we have some serious concerns about what they're doing out there. In the meantime, folks, I'm actually in a semi-good mood. It is a Saturday morning. I am going to go take my granddaughter Harmony to the Alamogordo Zoo and then on the choo-choo train. We're going to have a great time, so come out and join us at the zoo. In the meantime, please be good to one another. Have yourselves a great week, and I'll see you next Saturday morning, 9 a.m. on Those Who Show Up Decide.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Those Who Show Up Decide with Alamogordo's very own privately commissioned Jim Henson creation. I'm talking about none other than that towering and talkative Alamogordian activist, Paul Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez. Before we leave, don't forget to send your Chez Bomb cereal box tops, request for autographed portraits, wage garnishments, and restraining orders to thosewhoshow@hotmail.com. This has been Those Who Show Up Decide.